In cybersecurity, speed is survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system, monitoring external threats to your company to spot risks before breaches. SOC Radar delivers proactive threat intelligence with actionable insights for holistic exposure management across attack surfaces, dark web, and brand protection. With automated detection, triage, and investigation, SOC Radar is your business's frontline defense. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
Hello and welcome back to the Already Friends podcast. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today we're doing a Patreon style catch up. We're going to give some good life updates, what we've been up to behind the scenes. And as we always say, when we do these types of episodes, this is how our Patreon episodes are. So if you enjoy this, feel free to jump over to the Patreon. We have so many for you to listen to.
Yeah, I think it's nice having the catch up episodes because you and I could talk forever. And I feel like almost every week in our catch up segment, we're both like, okay, we'll stop there so we can get into the topic. But you and I could literally just catch up every week for an hour, which is something beautiful about our show that we don't live in the same place. So like genuinely, the things you're telling me and I'm telling you, like, this is mostly the first I'm hearing of it, unless we happen to talk about it on the side or I saw something on social media.
But so true.
You guys are, yeah, like our listeners are getting it firsthand.
This is hot off the press. It's here yeah. First. So yeah, it's true. And then sometimes I'll catch up and it's like 45 minutes in and we're like, okay, we really have to stop because we have a whole outline of stuff to talk about. And I agree. We really do have to be forcing ourselves to stop sometimes. So it's nice to let us just ramble and rant. We both have a few fun things to talk about today. So what's new with you? Do you want to start?
I think you should start. I think you have more fun and exciting things. And then I'll just weave in my catch-ups whenever they make sense.
Okay, perfect. Well, honestly, I have like 24 hours for all this start. This is my last day before I leave for 2.5 weeks. I've added another trip to my trips. So tomorrow I'm going to the Dominican Republic with my mom. We're doing a hotel collab, so a collab stay, which is very exciting. And we'll be staying at Zell Punta Cana, which is a brand newish hotel. And so they're reaching out to people to do some collabs with, get some photos, videos of their stays. So that's what we're going to be doing, which is very exciting. And then I'm also partnering with a travel agency that helps book people to stay there. So it'll be a little collab of both because they handled all of our hotel, or not hotel, but flights, transportations, and all that stuff. And yeah, it is crazy how nice a travel agent is. And I've been working with two. One has been helping me out with one of my productions. And then this trip, I'm like, oh my gosh, I forget that you can just hire someone like you, Allison Mathora, or just someone to do all that. It's so nice.
Oh my God. I literally had a thought the other day. I'm only going to make this about me for like 1 minute, that I was like, oh my God, I told everyone I was a Fora advisor and I did the training and I was going to do it and had the trip to Mexico City for like onboarding training. And then I got pregnant. So I just quit.
Okay. I sent somebody. No, that's so funny because this girl that I went to like spring break with freshman year of college, she came on our trip and was there for like a week, but literally met her once. She messaged me and was like, do you have any travel agents for a honeymoon? And I'm like, my friend Allison. I'm like, I don't know if she's doing it though right now because she is pregnant, but I sent her your info and I'm like, I literally, I can't imagine doing that right now. Like you're literally about to burst any moment. But I'm like, if she doesn't respond, then I really don't have anybody. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know. I hate saying on here or social media or anything that I'm doing something and then I don't do it. And so I don't know what if I was on a walk or something the other day and I was like, oh my God, I have to tell everyone that I quit the travel advising.
Yeah. And that seems like a flexible career, right? Like it's on the influx of whether you get people and that's probably how much time you put into it.
Yeah. It's like mostly commission based. So yeah. If you wanted to scale up or scale back, you could. I think it would have been really helpful if I had started that a few years ago, but I'll talk about this a little later in the episode. I like having a brick and mortar business. I'm not as fulfilled by all the online and I already do so much other stuff online. So if I really went into the travel agent stuff, I would have to pull back on some other things and doesn't feel right at this time. But anyway, I had to come clean on that. I quit.
That's okay.
Thank you though.
Honestly, out of like the things to quit, again, you just got a certification and it's up to you if you want to practice it or not. So I feel like it's not like a wash. Yeah, exactly. I want to pick your brain. I want to know everything that you learned during that, because I'm so fascinated with all this stuff. Because when I got this travel agent, it's the one that this agency uses. I'm like, how does this work? Like, am I going to be paying you like a lot extra? Or like, and she explained her side to me, which was really nice. Like, most of the time it's not extra. They get commissions. And I'm like, geez, I just don't think people know all this. But yeah, this agency does Caribbean vacations. So if you had a girl's trip to the Caribbean or mom-daughter trip, a honeymoon, then this company would do that. So then I was like, actually, I probably could, if she wanted to go to the Caribbean, I could send her this company that she could work with. But that's next week. Yeah, we leave tomorrow. My flight's at 5 a.m. Oh, it's so early.
And you're going to the Dominican with your mom tomorrow. You're packing. And then that's starting the 3 back-to-back trips?
Yes. Originally, when I took this project, it was just remote only. And like a week into the project, they were like, actually, you will go travel if you can to go be on the shoot. It was just going to be remote, planning the shoot, pre-prep. But now they wanted me to travel. So I'm like, my brain is going a million miles a minute. I'm like, what day is what? Or we were going to be flying out Thursday anyway. So I'm just going to fly to the shoot, which is in Saudi. So now I'm going to Saudi because I was doing remote work for a shoot for a week. And then they decided that they wanted me to go. So I'm going to be flying from Punta Cana to Frankfurt. The Red Sea is the beachy turquoise blue waters destination of Saudi. And yeah, it's on the left side of the country, obviously Red Sea. I'm like, who else borders the Red Sea? Like Egypt, Israel, I don't know. There's some other countries that all feed into the Red Sea. But the only way to get there from Punta Cana was to go Punta Cana to New York, which is like 5 hours. And then New York to Doha, which is a 15 and a half hour flight, Qatar. And then Doha to Red Sea Airport. And I'm like, I really don't want to go backwards. Because if you guys look at a map, like that'd be going left on the map and then going right. I'm like, can I at least go like right on the map and get closer? So I booked 2 separate tickets. So I could actually do that today. It's just the end of our new list of things to do is what I'm going through right now. Is just now I need to book travel insurance that will hopefully cover if anything happens. Because, you know, it's obviously not
different
ideal.
Airlines.
It's different airlines. Exactly. Yeah. You've done that before, right? Yeah. We've talked about
lots
that.
Lots of times.
Yeah. Because I'm like, it also saved me like 10 hours of travel time, not having to go back. And I'm like, I don't want to be on a 15-hour flight. I'm sorry. That just sounds miserable. I'd rather break it up. So Punta Cana to Frankfurt is 9 hours. And then Frankfurt, I am still going through Doha, is 5.5. And then Doha to Red Sea is 2 hours. So it saves about 10 hours of travel. And yes, I'll do that Thursday. And then I'll get to the Red Sea on Friday. And everyone else is getting there Thursday. But I'm like, look, I've had this trip already planned. It's a vacation. I can leave in the morning. We weren't going to be leaving till the afternoon. I can leave earlier, but I would like to still get all my full days.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So that's the plan. And fingers crossed that I have it's a 4-hour connection in Frankfurt. So hopefully that's enough time. But also, if whatever happens, happens, it's out of my control.
And then how long are you in Saudi?
I'm in Saudi for, let's see, till the 25th. So that'll be 5 days. If I get there, I'm going to get there Friday, the 21st. Yeah. So then I was looking at flights home from Saudi. And I'm like, well, if I'm already on this side of the world, why don't I go?
Here we go.
I know. We're adding another trip. I'm like, if I'm already all the way over here, which actually is not that close to where I'm going at all. But actually, it's definitely way closer than the US. So now I was like, Brady and his girlfriend Kira are only living in Thailand until I think like December 15th or 20th. So I only have like one month. It's actually 1 month left to visit them. And so I'm like, okay, I feel like I should just go visit because I can fly with points to Thailand and then I can fly home. I asked my company because actually I saved them $340 by flying me home from Thailand, because flying me home from Thailand was $660 on a one way versus if I flew home from Saudi one way, it was going to be $1,000. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Low key, I feel like they should pay for the part over to Thailand then, if it was already in the budget, but I get why it's not.
Well, if okay, honestly, I could have. This is a good like life hack. I could have done Red Sea to St. Louis with a stopover in Thailand.
Yeah.
Because that's what I've done before. That literally I tried for like 3 hours to find any airline, like any way that I could make it Red Sea to St. Louis with like a voluntary get off the plane for 5 days and then come back on. I tried for hours and it was not happening. But then also my peak of the week relates to my flight. So I'll save that. But also for this one, so sometimes it's like a budget's a budget. Like some productions, they'll give the producers like, hey, here's your budget. If you save money, you guys can pocket it. I've never worked on a production like that, but in regular TV and film, it's like, okay, there's your incentive to not go over. Because when there's no incentive, I feel like in LA or in Hollywood, they can be like, yeah, it actually costs $10 million. Sorry. But it's like, no, if you save $100,000 and that's your instant bonus, you're going to work hard to save that money. But for this one, the budget is a budget and I'm kind of responsible for making sure we don't go over and it's already looking really bad. It's already looking a little rough. So I'm like, okay, I got to save that $300 but it's good. Like in previous trips, I end of my Vietnam shoot. I went Vietnam to Japan to St. Louis and did the stopover in Japan for 3 days. And since it was all on the same ticket, I didn't need to like fly myself to Japan, pay for it. So unfortunately, there's literally zero airlines that do Saudi to St. Louis to also fly through Thailand. RIP.
Well, at least you'll get to see Brady. When was the last time you saw him?
I saw him, I think this summer in July. He came to my grandpa's 80th birthday party. And then it's funny because I'll literally see him like 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later at Christmas.
For Christmas.
But they're very excited. I'm excited. I want to see how they're living out there. And I don't think they'll go back to Thailand next year. I think they're looking at Europe or South America. They're going to switch it up, be a little bit closer to the U.S. And I always said, I'm like, I will visit if I'm able to, I don't know, subsidize the flight with work if I'm like out. Because, you know, last year I was literally in Thailand and in Vietnam for work. So I'm like, I'll come visit if something like that happens again. And so I feel like this was the closest thing to that.
Especially with the window of opportunity closing.
Yes, exactly. So I guess, I can say my peak and then you can talk and then you can say your peak whenever. Because now that I've left you on a cliffhanger, I'm like, okay, I should say it. My peak is that I booked my first ever business class ticket with points because I found a really, really good points redemption going from Red Sea to Thailand. So I'm going to have a first class ticket to Doha, which is just like a 2-hour flight. And then Doha to Phuket, I got a business class seat. And I did it all for 55,000 Amex points, which is really low.
Dang.
I saw someone on TikTok.
So good.
Yeah, talking about their Qatar business class ticket. I think it was a longer flight, so it makes sense. But they spent 95,000 Amex points. And I asked ChatGPT, I'm like, is this a good redemption? And it was like, this is a great redemption. Like, jump on it. Because I'm like, honestly, how many people are flying Red Sea to Phuket? So I bet there was like a lot of availability.
That is kind of niche.
Yeah. Or even just Doha to Phuket. I don't know. So I think that helped in me getting this flight for that few of points because I have a lot of points. So I'm very excited. And that's my peak because I've never flown a lie flat or actually any sort of business. I don't know. I've flown business class once or twice when I had status on Delta for like 3 months. I don't know what happened. I literally think it was a fluke in the system because I never did anything to get status on Delta. Like, and then one day just went away. But one time I got upgraded Atlanta to St. Louis and that was business class, but it was also on an old plane. And like,
yeah, it's not all business class is equal.
It is not. So I can't say I've never flown because I guess that's factually incorrect, but it's pretty much correct because I've never flown on a lie flat and
a comfort business class.
Like, yeah, where like you have a
lot of way different.
You have a wall, they bring you pajamas, skincare. I'm very excited, but also I am nervous that it's going to wreck me because a lot of people say it makes the economy way worse once you know what's going on at the front of the plane. So I'm so scared about that, but it'll be fun.
Well, that's okay. You deserve it, especially after how many flights you've taken in your life. Like, it's due, it's time. And if you keep going for business class, well, it makes your trips better because then you're not as tired.
I know. It really is one of the best parts about the business class too. Oh, I guess I have a fourth trip kind of going from Red Sea to Doha. Then I could have had a 4-hour layover in Doha to go to Phuket, or I could have done an 18-hour layover. So I was with my friend B and I'm like, which one should I do? She's like, do the 18-hour layover, go see Qatar, go explore, and then you'll have another country knocked off your list. So of course, that's what I'm doing. So I'm going to do land in Qatar at 2, and then my next flight out is at 8:30 in the morning. So I'll leave the airport. I'll leave my bag in the airport. Probably downtown to the airport is about 15, 20 minutes. So I haven't decided yet if I want to stay in the airport hotel or if I want to do like a hotel downtown or something. I'll probably end up just staying at the hotel in the airport again, just because then I can wake up. And then the best part is that you get access to the business class lounge. And apparently the one in Doha is one of the best because it's on Qatar Airways, which is a really good business class airline. Apparently it's a very nice business class lounge. So I can use it when I land and then I can leave and then I can come back and use it for dinner and then stay in the airport hotel. And then I can do it at breakfast. So I could go in that lounge literally 3 times. So it'll be getting its money's worth this whole trip.
Yeah, especially for that few of points, a great flight, good time getting you in to have the whole afternoon and evening there and then get some delicious food. That'll be great. That's so worth it. I support this detour from Saudi back to St. Louis. Yeah, because you'll be going all the way around.
I know. It's literally a circle, a lap around the world. It's funny. I did that last year at the same time. I went St. Louis. I think I went, straight to Lake Como. Lake Como to Thailand, Thailand, Vietnam, and then Vietnam, Japan, Japan, St. Louis. It was a whole lap. So November is my travel lap around the world time.
Well, I hope all the connections, everything goes well. I hope you're not too tired at any part of all of this so that you can enjoy it and let each trip be its own fun thing. Because they're very different. It's like you and your mom have your beach time, then you're going hard on the work shoot, then you have like a solo moment, and then hanging out with your brother.
I agree. I hope that I can find a way to be rested on these planes. I'm usually pretty good at sleeping, but of course it's not the same. It's not the same as getting actual sleep. So yeah, fingers crossed. On the way to Saudi, I have an overnight layover in Doha, and I hope I can get some good sleep. I'm doing a hotel airport thing. So hopefully going into the shoot, I can somewhat feel rested. Fingers crossed. I really hope.
And then when you get back, do you have a crazy December or you will get to relax a little bit?
I think this is my last project of the year. I'm helping manage the launch and edits and stuff post-production. So I'll have that through mid-January-ish. But yeah, it'll
just
be a
like
lot
on
chiller.
The computer. Like
yes, computer
from
stuff.
From afar.
100%. So it'll be nice. Nice little thing to have. But yeah, okay. That's my updates. Please share your updates because I just rambled for way too long.
You're like traveling the most you've ever traveled. And I'm saying the most planted I've ever been. And it's really hard for me. I am having such FOMO of 1404. You guys know it's my store that's in Omaha that I still manage from afar. And with it being like festive season, you know, we have Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, the night before Thanksgiving. A lot of retail places do, you know, a countdown of deals throughout December. There's Unboxing Day, the day after Christmas, New Year's Eve stuff, because people want glam looks. Like there's so much going on in retail in November and December before things absolutely die in January, February. And I'm missing it. I'm not wishing that I could be there instead of here necessarily, but I am grieving it and sad because it's so fun to make content and decorate. And I was coordinating all of these things with the girls. I'm like, okay, can you shoot these photos? Can you redecorate the shelves? Can you do this? I'm like, these are all the fun things that I want to do. Now I'm just the owner who has to like click buttons on the computer. Like that's not fun.
Oh, now that sounds so fun, all the things. So I can see why you have FOMO.
Yeah. And fall fashion it's so good. And our inventory is amazing, like sweaters and denim and coats. We're doing a big coat event this weekend because the shop is so small. At some point, I'm going to need to like decide if we're going to expand or what, because I have more vendors joining all the time. I think we're up to 14 now, maybe 15. And no vendors leave. I had one gal leave in August, I guess, but more people are coming and the store is not getting any bigger. The racks are not getting any bigger. There's nowhere for the inventory to go, but people want to be involved. Customers want more to shop, but I like that location. So I don't know. So at some point next year, I might have to go back to Omaha and reconfigure like the layout or something to accommodate more, but I don't want it to be claustrophobic in there. It's just such a small store.
Right. It's such a cute space. So you're like, I don't want to give it up.
Yeah. And I don't want to open another one in Omaha because that doesn't make sense. So I don't know. But I am loving having the shop still from afar. But in my day-to-day here in the Netherlands, I miss going into the shop and getting dressed up and filming things and re-merchandising and decorating, filming little Instagram stories. So I've been trying to like re-merchandise my apartment more or less, like all of Hayes's baby clothes. I keep folding and I'm like, okay, these are going to be hung. Okay, these are in this basket. I'm like, oh, I just need a store. I like put a picture of it on my Instagram story and one of the brands reposted it onto their story. And she told me that she had customers ask her if that was the store.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's really sweet. That's like, okay, nice compliment.
It's a good honor.
Yeah, it's a good honor that you know what you're doing.
And I miss thrift stores that are good. Here, there's so many resale stores, like stores like 1404 Collective that have already been curated and are, you know, in the price point of 20 to 80. But I miss going and thrifting and being the person that finds the exciting thing.
Mm-hmm. Is that not a thing?
Their thrift stores here are just not as good. And I think it's because in the US, consumerism is so high. So people are willing to donate stuff because they just keep buying more stuff. But in Europe, people have small closets. They shop more intentionally. They buy quality over quantity. And since it's in such a more condensed area, like when I do go into the thrift stores here, there are so many people in the stores. Like there's no way you could really find anything good pertaining to clothes. Like there's some okay kitchen stuff. I've gotten a lot of cute coffee mugs and plates and glassware, but for clothes, forget it. And that is just one of my favorite hobbies. I miss it.
That's so sad, but your theory makes 100% sense. I feel like that's spot on.
Yeah. It's just, I think they're not donating as much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But one fun thing about being here, though, is I do feel like Europe, particularly the Scandinavia northern part, is so ahead in fashion. So it's really fun to send things back to the girls and be like, okay, I'm seeing this. This is trending. The Dutch girlies are doing this. Like, try to go source these things. Let's dress the mannequin like this. Because
yeah,
when you're walking the streets of Omaha, not really getting as much fashion inspiration. So at least I can, you know, be useful in that way. If anyone is curious, two things I'm saying a lot, you'll have to tell me if you're seeing this and you're in the Midwest, but tiny, tiny scarves. Like I'm talking not just a skinny scarf, but like the end of it, it's almost like a bandana length, but it's the thickness of a sweater or cashmere, wool, crochet. And they just tie it once around the neck and then tie it. And they're putting it over like a collared shirt or even over their jacket. I went to a little event this morning, a mommy meetup, bunch of gals. We got coffee. There was like 15 to 20 moms. It was really fun. And two people had the tiny little scarf. And I had just told the staff yesterday. And I'm like, okay, I'm seeing it more and more. Clocking. Here's two more with the tiny scarves. And then the like crochet belts over jeans or over a skirt. Have you seen that?
Just online. Never seen it IRL. This is not the most fashion forward city. I've seen those on TikTok and on like fashion creators, and they're very cute.
Exactly. That's like the difference. Like in the past, when I was living in Omaha, I would see these things on Pinterest and of course, you know, Instagram, trendy media forms, but actually seeing it in real life, I'm like, oh, you guys are the people that are like making these posts on Pinterest. Like you're cute. And I realized it all ties in because we played this video on One Opinionated AF. It was like, Europe is just a museum. Why don't you guys just accept it? That is what you're known for. You have the history, you have the pretty streets. Us Americans, we just kind of want to come and play like fairy tale land in your little museum towns, okay? And I realized, I think that is why Europe like dominates Pinterest so much. Because if I walk out in Omaha in the suburbs, you have to put a little bit more effort into getting a cute outfit photo. Like you got to go downtown, you got to find a brick building to, you know, make it artsy. But I can just walk out my front door anywhere here and get endless outfit photos, endless cute coffee shops. Everything's walkable. There's flower stands. It's so easy. The canals, the pretty arches, all the history. So these girlies, when they look good, they can also easily get content every day of the week, anywhere they are, all over Europe. And so I feel like they're the ones that are really dominating Pinterest and Instagram fashion, even though things move faster in the US and we're ahead in other ways, like in Hollywood or, you know, tech, Amazon, Uber, like big companies. I think the US moves faster. But when it comes to like good fashion, I do think things are way ahead in Europe. And then it trickles over to the US and then we integrate it. And by that point, I think Europe's like months or maybe a year ahead.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and talk about one of our sponsors real quick, Shopify. As you guys know, starting a small business, there's nothing small about it. There are so many things to do. And both myself and Allison run a business, obviously, we run this podcast, and it has been consuming us since we started. There's always a new decision to make. And sometimes those small decisions feel so massive. And something that really helps you when you have a small business is choosing a company that has a great reputation, that does things right, so that the small decisions can be the right decision. So that's why we love Shopify. It is the best commerce platform, and Shopify is behind millions of businesses around the world. Did you know it actually is 10% of all e-commerce in the US is Shopify? So that's brands like Mattel, Gymshark, Skims, you name it. Those brands use Shopify. You can tackle all of your important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Shopify makes the marketing minefield easy with built-in tools for running social media and email campaigns, so you can find new customers and keep them. And if you're looking to grow your business internationally, Shopify has global selling tools that can help you in over 150 countries. I mean, for us, it's a no-brainer. Shopify is the e-commerce platform to use. If you're selling anything online, get all the big stuff right for your small business right now with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. You can use the code alreadyfriends to get a $1 per month trial. Again, at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thanks to Shopify for sponsoring the show.
In cybersecurity, speed is survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system, monitoring external threats to your company to spot risks before breaches. SOC Radar delivers proactive threat intelligence with actionable insights for holistic exposure management across attack surfaces, dark web, and brand protection. With automated detection, triage, and investigation, SOC Radar is your business's frontline defense. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
They're like, oh, you're just catching up with that? That's been out for a year.
A while. Yeah.
A
while. We did that last winter.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Especially, I mean, 1,000% spot on the aesthetics of having a nice backdrop everywhere. It really is everywhere.
I feel like to make the type of photos that you see on Pinterest in Omaha, like casually holding a baguette or like a little coffee on a stoop with just like some flowers in the background, like you have to try so hard.
Oh, it's not authentic.
It comes off that you like went out to take these photos
100%.
Versus here, they're like, no, I was genuinely like walking to work and just like snapped a quick pic. It's so organic here. And that's not that Matilda Durf did not work very hard and that she's not super creative, but she's working in a better set.
1,000%. Like the set is everything around you. I would be an anomaly if I had built what she built here in St. Louis.
In St. Louis.
Yeah. No, if anything, you're right. Like you'd have better luck being in St. Louis and like leaning into America. Like way back when I was doing a lot of photo shoots back in like 2020, 2021, I did a photo shoot at a gas station pump. And like that kind of reminds me of this. Like too, like it's, you know, it's BP, but whatever. It's like fun. It's quirky. It's like American. You could make it look Dutch or like make it look like Europe. But it's just these places here are just copying the Europe aesthetic. I don't know.
Yeah, because there's not as much history. And like, that's okay. I do agree. I think the US has its own identity and its own culture. And it's fine. It works for the US. But when it comes to like what people want on Pinterest and like what people are saving on their boards, I do think it is a lot more influenced by European style.
Yeah.
And because the lifestyle is so different, when you're out walking, I just feel like you're more immersed. It's easier to like take a quick pic. You're not like pulling over in your car and getting out and juggling all your stuff to try to do a shoot.
100%.
Here, you're just integrated into your daily life.
And even like the New York City influencers, a lot of them pretty much only do Soho area for photos because Soho is the only area in New York that looks the same. And all the buildings are cohesive, kind of like the Netherlands, how everything looks the same. And not everyone lives in Soho. I imagine most of these people don't live in Soho. So you're literally having to get an Uber, bring three or four outfit changes, bringing a pop-up changing tent, or getting on the subway, commuting to that area. Like, it, again, it's still a barrier for entry. Because if I was in New York and I was a fashion influencer, I would not want to be taking pictures outside my apartment because everything's so distinct looking. Then all of a sudden, you'd have people showing up at your apartment if you're a big influencer. You know, you're real creepy people. So it is a barrier to entry.
And then, like, how often can you sustain doing these shoots? Like, you're going to get tired. Mm-hmm. Things happen along the way. You got the elements. How much can you really carry up and down, in and out of the subway? Versus here, it's pretty flat. It's pretty everywhere. You're like, oh, I'm just going to go around the block.
Yeah. Well, that's a great observation. Very interesting. And I agree with everything you said. So then that's your FOMO chapter. You're in your FOMO chapter.
I'm in my really inspired by my surroundings chapter, but can't do anything about it chapter. Because also, like, I'm so pregnant. Like, I don't want to buy a lot of stuff. I've literally just been wearing the same thing the last month because I'm like, what? He could come out any day. Why would I go buy a bunch of things? Like, mm-hmm. I'll just save it. But then it's like not very fun. I'm seeing all of these cute things and I miss having something to dress up for. So I don't know. Clay and I, for our DAFT visa, we have to have a business that we run through the Dutch government, essentially. Option one, I could restructure NuWave and just do all of my online things that I make money from through a NuWave that I start here, or it could have any name. Clay could switch his coaching over mm-hmm. and run it all, or we could start a new thing. And we've both been kind of going back and forth being like, well, maybe we should just keep our US stuff in the US because there is more lucrative tax benefits in the US. You know, taxes here are about 50%. So those cute streets don't come for free. We're like, maybe we just do something more low key here that isn't necessarily about making money, but is like good for our mental health, integrates us into the community. If it breaks even and we have to give half of it to the Dutch government, we chalk it up as like community and our happiness. And we have to do that by like February 4th or something. I think 6 months from whenever our initial visa was approved. So we have like a little bit of time, but also it's kind of coming up quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We did tour a few places and they were okay. They weren't like a big yes, but it was fun to kind of get in the entrepreneurial spirit. Like, I would be 10 times happier here if I had something. And it doesn't have to be open 7 days a week, but to get out of the house, meet people, talk to people would be so much better for me. And I think we definitely are planning on staying here for, I don't know. I have no visions of coming back anytime soon. But even still, if we're only here for 3 years, I think that's enough time to do something.
That's really cool. Does it have to be a brick and mortar? Is that a stipulation or that's just what you guys are choosing?
No, it could be fully just an online business here.
Yeah.
But we're like, I don't want to start another online business. So yeah. Either we would just switch Clay's coaching over here or we would switch NuWave over here, keep going with what we have. And, you know, maybe Hayes comes and we feel like, yeah, what crazy cloud were we on that we thought we should open another business with a newborn? Maybe it will feel like too much and we just end up transferring one of our things over.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, like going to that mommy meetup this morning, it was so cute. It was at this place. The owner's technically a chiropractor, but they also have a yoga room and a coffee shop in the front. And they're just like, yeah, these are the things we're into. Like, come hang out. And the other mama meetup I went to maybe a couple weeks ago now, she's from South Africa and it's like a kids store, but she also has a coffee shop and she also has baked goods and also just hosts like little events where moms bring their kids and they hang out for the afternoon for free mm-hmm. just to like integrate yourself. So I do feel like there's a lot of that here where people are like, I have to do something to have my visa. So I'm just going to smush together a couple things that I like to do into this building. And if people come, great. If not, that's okay because I have to do it anyway.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be like totally abnormal.
For sure. But I'm sure you'll have some time to think about it. Yeah, you'll have time. Yeah. And if it's a community space and maybe you can have Hayes there and there's
exactly
other,
like I yeah. would totally build it that way where like he just comes with me because I'm not going to send him to daycare.
Do you have a peek of the week from any of that?
Great question. Well, not from any of that, but I had my third and final hospital appointment. You guys know, not a fan of the hospital setting, but they made me go 3 times just to get an extra opinion because I didn't have any appointments until 33 weeks. And so they were like, we just want you to go to be safe. And I get that. It's fine. I was a good sport. I went. And then at our third appointment, we like sit down and they're like, you know, everything's perfect. He's measuring great. You're great. The blood flow through the umbilical cord from the placenta is great. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I knew everything was great. And you guys were stressing me out, making me come to all these appointments across town. It's fine. But I am glad to be over those. And even the hospital midwife, which I think it's interesting that there's like midwives at the midwife office. And then there's like midwives that work at the hospitals. But the midwife at the hospital that gave us like the final thumbs up, which we could have still done the home birth, but we really needed them to, I don't know, give us their final say for the midwife office to feel like they could give us the green light. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like we needed it to feel good. The midwife office was like, hey, you know, we have no data. So could you go get some more data so that we can feel assured supporting you in a home birth? But did that. And the midwife at the hospital even had home birth. So she's like, I totally understand you wanting to do this. You're at the hospital. So it felt relieving to have all of that done. I still have to go give blood one more time. Not give blood, get my blood drawn. I totally just skipped my appointment last week. Let me say, I got on the bus and I was en route to the blood clinic place. And then I was just like, no, fuck this. I don't want to do it. And I literally just got off the stop, walked across the street, bussed home.
Stop. That's so funny. Oh my God.
Like got halfway there, started getting queasy. So then when I went to like our midwife, she was like, you didn't go to the blood appointment? And I was like, you know, I was just feeling not into it. It ruined my mental health that whole day. Like the anticipation of it. And then I missed my yoga class because then I was like spiraling. She's like, well, we really need to know. Apparently they could give me an IV if it was like super, super low of iron.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been taking an iron supplement every day now for the last month with an orange. Because apparently if you take it with vitamin C, it absorbs better and you're supposed to avoid calcium with it. I feel fine. I feel great. I'm not tired. Haven't been napping. Still going to yoga.
Yeah. I if I have to get blood drawn, I go literally at 8 a.m. I don't know if they make you fast, but when I get blood drawn, you have to be fast. So I'm like, I'm going the first. Actually, I think I go at 7:30 a.m. They open at 7:30 because I also would psych myself out. And well, that I'm the same way when I would just have my regular checkup. He was like, okay, let's get blood work done just to see. I didn't go for a whole year because I'm like, I'm not doing this. Like, this is a voluntary thing. So then finally, I was like, oh my God, it's been a year. I probably need to go do that. And I think he was like, wait, when did I order this? I'm like, we don't have to talk about that. We don't have to look at when you asked me to do this.
No, that is 2025. You typed it wrong. It wasn't 2024.
And then how did this relate to the peak again? I'm sorry. We got sidetracked.
Oh, the peak is that now I don't have to go back to the hospital anymore.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
And I have the hospital support to have a home birth, and I have the midwife's office to have a home birth.
Yay.
Which should also maybe relieve anyone who doesn't agree with my choices. Like that, like literally the hospital cleared me to have a home birth. They were like, you're not at risk for anything. You're safe. He's growing. He's apparently measuring 7 pounds, 6.93 as of last week. I've gained 26 pounds since I pre-pregnancy. And there's some days where I'm walking around and I'm like, I feel the same. Like, I don't feel like I gained anything. And then I catch my reflection in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, you look like you've gained 100 pounds. Like, you know what people say when they get a big tattoo that they catch themselves in the mirror and they're like, is that me? Like, whoa. At least like Clay had that when he got his huge side piece. And I kind of am relieved because I hadn't weighed myself. I didn't really know. I'm like, it could be 75. It could be 100 pounds over. I don't know. We'll deal with, you know, postpartum, however it comes. Like, no matter what, I'm nourishing the baby. I'm going to eat if I need to eat. But I am relieved. Like, okay, that's not so much that I can't deal with it. Because also, like, your body, like, you feel that extra weight carrying it around, you know, like on your joints and your knees and getting up and down and your cardio. Andy Frisella, you know how he said when he first started getting in to his 75 hard program, he was like, I'm more proud of the guy at the beginning who started because he's like, now that would be me having to do all of this with like 100 pound plate. And I think about it like, yeah, every day when I'm walking around life, like I'm carrying around a 30 pound bowling ball all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's a lot of strain on the body.
For sure. I cannot imagine.
Yeah, that's all that.
Well, I'm glad Thumbs that you're up. Cleared. Should we do listener peaks of the week?
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I forgot about you. I was too absorbed in my own
flow.
Thanks. Okay. Peyton said, finish the first draft of my second novel. Very cool. I would love to have a link to your first novel and good luck continuing on with the second one.
Anya said her peak is that she's in Hawaii for a bachelorette party. Okay. What a fun destination. Have the best time.
And Kylie said that she got a new kitty. Very cute. I love that for you.
Love a cute little kitty. And Nikki said, put out my Christmas decorations to brighten my spirit. Wow, it's that time. I'm seeing the change happening, seeing the Christmas decorations going up as we speak. So it's fun. I love it.
As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday. The Instagram handle is @alreadyfriendspodcast.
All right. Well, I feel like that was enough catch up for today. We kind of hit all the marks. And next week, we'll share more. We always have a lot to say. So,
yes. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us today. We will catch you next week.
Bye.
In cybersecurity, speed isn't just an advantage, it's survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system against hackers. SOC Radar continuously monitors the external threat landscape, so cyber threats hit your radar before they hit your business. But it doesn't stop there. SOC Radar empowers your company with proactive exposure management, actionable insights that help you stay ahead of cybercriminals and minimize business impact. And with SOC Radar's holistic exposure management, you get complete visibility, attack surface monitoring, dark web monitoring, threat intelligence, and brand protection are all unified in one powerful platform. SOC Radar isn't just another tool. It's your frontline defense in a world where threats never sleep. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.